afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. You'll be happy to know the only thing that's on fire here is our love of the Constitution. And nothing else. All right, my name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. Go up and see them. They've got some great deals going on with John Deere tractors, implements. Got a great service department. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. And you can give them a call at 530-226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. Yeah, like that.
Forget who did that the first time, but
that was Yahoo.
We're ruined forever. Oh, was that it?
Oh, no, they were Yahoo.
And they stopped doing it?
Yeah,
gosh,
they stopped
too bad.
Doing it. Yeah.
I miss it. Not.
Yeah. Not.
Okay, I was kidding. So anyway. All right. So back to the opposition of convention of the states. This I had somebody just walk into the studio who's doing the show after us, and they said, oh, good topic. I was learning about this the other day, and it's terrifying. Like, it's kind of the prevailing sentiment. I guess before we get done, are you going to let people know really what, you know, what they can do to keep an eye out for this, or, you know, where are good sources to watch for any developments with this?
Yeah, we'll cover.
Yeah. I won't blow your rhythm here. So you just go right back to where you were.
Can I just explain the term convention of states?
Yes, please.
There is no such thing as a convention called by the states to address, there's no such thing as a convention controlled by the states to address our federal constitution. The convention provided for at Article 5 is a federal convention called by the federal government for the federal purpose of addressing our federal constitution. It is not a state function. The states have nothing to do with it except upon the application of 34 of the state legislatures sent into Congress. Congress calls a convention. Once 34 states have unrescinded applications on file with Congress, it is out of the states' hands. They have nothing more to do with it. But during 2016, one of the gurus for Mark Meckler's organization announced that he was going to put our concepts on reset, and he would no longer call what he was pushing for a constitutional convention. Henceforth, he would call it a, quote, convention of states. That is highly deceptive because it creates the false impression that the states control the convention. But nothing could be further from the truth, because Congress has the power to decide how the delegates will be selected. They can even select the delegates themselves. The states have absolutely no power over the convention. Mark Meckler's organization is conveniently named the Convention of States Project, so that every time people repeat the name of his organization, they are indoctrinating themselves with a lie. The newspeak lie that there is such a thing as a convention controlled by the states to address our federal constitution. So we must always call it what it is, an Article 5 convention.
Nice. I switched the title of the show, by the way, just now. So I stole your title off your PDF, opposition to an Article 5 convention. So there we go. We won't be putting out any, you know, propaganda there. They've gotten pretty – how far down the road do you think they are as far as support and just kind of got people thinking? Because I hear this from all sorts of people. We just need to have a we need to have a constitutional convention and fix all this. And I don't think they realize it's not going to fix it.
Right. Can I jump in there then? Do you want that answered? I don't, you know, this is a public relations campaign at this point. They have the best PR firms that money can buy. There are literally tens of millions of dollars being thrown at this from undisclosed sources because these groups do not have to disclose where they're coming from. And they started out, all of these groups, saying that they needed 34 identical applications. Well, nobody knows what Congress is going to look at. Congress decides which applications they count. They don't know that they have to be identical. It's, you know, that's not in the Constitution. It's whatever Congress decides to count. But the groups, which is there's Balanced Budget Amendment groups, there's Mark Meckler's Convention of States, there's a U.S. term limits group where they're focusing on congressional term limits, the number of terms that Congress members can run for election. And there's, on the left, George Soros-funded and Wolfpack's, which is to overturn the Citizens United decision and supposedly take money out of politics.
Yeah,
you
right.
can imagine George Soros being behind taking money out of politics. And
that sounds like him.
So it's only his money. How great is that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on a speaker.
Yeah, I was going to say, so George Soros wants money out of politics, so it can only be his money.
Yes. So in order to get votes on these applications, because the legislators were concerned about a runaway convention and what are the delegates at the convention going to do, the groups all told the legislators that all the applications would be identical. It would be just for this particular subject that we're voting on. And so the applications had a purpose. The purpose was to get, you know, a balanced budget, or Mark Meckler's is to limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government, which isn't really limited at all, but that's his particular subject, plus balanced budget and throw term limits in there, too. Pretty much the world. It would cover Wolfpack's, too. And Wolfpack said it's just to take money out of politics. And the legislators thought that sounded good. You have to know that it's easier to convince people when you have a ton of money behind you. And everybody is saying it, and it comes out in all the news services because you have great public relations firms. So at some point a couple of years ago or a year ago, we were all counting, gosh, Mark Meckler, now he's up to 19 states out of 34, and the term limits is up to 5 states out of 34, and balanced budget is up to 26 states out of 34. And Wolfpack, they got up to 5 states, the Democrat states, but then they lost a couple that were rescinded. And also balanced budget went all the way up to, I think, 32 at one point in time in the 80s, and then they went back down and up to 16, and then they went up to almost 30, and now they're down to 26. But at some point, these groups decided that they were never going to get to 34. And if they could continue doing that, they wouldn't get to 34. And they even thought, you know, they have smart scholars who look at the Constitution and say, gosh, Congress isn't authorized to call a limited convention. So they had to change stuff. So they have different strategies. And now they're ignoring that. Mark Meckler is still going to get his 20th state, but there's a balanced budget group that's going right to Congress to call a convention because he's counting applications. It's like the time machine theory. You fly into 1979 and they claim that they had 34 states then and Congress didn't call the convention then, so let's call it today. So basically how close they are depends upon how many people, you know, they're trying to convince Congress that the people are demanding a convention, and Congress is going to call it when it's politically expedient. So you have all this public relations going on, making them think that people are demanding it. But if you go out, you know, to your grocery store and ask people what an if they know what an Article 5 convention is, nobody knows what they're talking about.
No. And I asked a member of Congress, I said, why would Republicans support this? And the response I got back was pretty direct. He said, well, only the dumb ones support it. So that was kind of funny.
Yeah, and we, you know, they don't understand it either, the subject. And sometimes Democrats might oppose it because Republicans support it and vice versa. But this isn't a partisan issue. This is very heated on the conservative side.
Yeah.
People are at each other's throats over it, and a lot of organizations will not come out with a stand on it because they're afraid of splitting their membership, losing members and losing money. And it is as split on the Democrat side. Wolfpack is at the throat of Common Cause on this. And you might not agree with anything else that Common Cause does, but they are opposed. They're the more liberal and not the radical Democrats, it seems, don't want to lose the Constitution. So it has strange bedfellows.
Yeah, that's, I guess, a lot of times you can tell, you can tell on something, you know, just based on who's supporting and who's opposing. Sometimes that's a bit of a giveaway, but this is a little bit mixed up. And the whole, it's kind of like, don't get me started, but I'll go there on the term limit thing. If we want to see how great term limits are, just look at California, you know.
Right, that's easy.
Like, has that helped us? That'd be a big no. And the part that people don't really realize when they're advocating for term limits, on the one hand, you're voting for the permanent bureaucracy to be in charge because your representatives.
That is correct.
Yeah, your representatives will never be there long enough to defang them because they won't. They won't be. It's too big. They won't be able to have the resources and the knowledge, the historical knowledge, to peel those folks apart. And the other thing is just really simple. When you're advocating for term limits, you're basically saying that the electorate is too stupid to choose its own representatives, so you're going to put in an artificial chooser for them. And I realize in some places, like we look at some districts, Nancy Pelosi, and people want to get rid of folks like that. The problem is, you have the same voters in that district. They're going to pick somebody just like that. Look at California again. We finally got rid of Barbara Boxer. Everybody was all excited. And then in our infinite wisdom, the people of California chose Kamala Harris. It's just like, who would have thought we could have outdone ourselves there? But no, we stepped in it twice right in a row. So, you know, the term limit thing isn't going to get rid of the people you hate and keep the people you like. It's just going to get rid of everybody. And that revolving door puts, because I know just from experience that the bureaucrats take a look at who is coming to them with a problem or a requirement to fix something for their constituent. They look at how long have you been in office? Oh, one term. One term? Oh, no problem. You might not get reelected. We're not going to do what you say. It's real clear. They know exactly where their bread's buttered.
These issues like term limits, this is bait to get legislators votes.
Yep.
We have to remember that even if you like term limits, the delegates at the convention can do whatever they want. Congress can decide how to select delegates. And then once the convention convenes, you have if you even got a convention called for the term limits issue, that doesn't matter. They can write a new constitution. That's what will happen.
Yeah, once they get in place, they can write whatever they want. They can turn it right back around and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Game over! Yeah, they're...
You know, about...
Hold that thought just 1 second. Let's take a break and come back, and then we won't interrupt. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Nice job, Bill.
Hey, thanks.
And it beats like a drum down in New Orleans. Sings like a low-down melody. It dreams like California. Bigger than the Texas sky. It bleeds, it scars. But shines when times get hard. You can't. You can't break an American dream.
double wide quick stop midnight tea top Jack in her cherry coke town. Mama and daddy put their roots right here, cause this is where the car broke down. Yellow dog school bus kicking up red bus, picking us up by barbed wire fence. MTV on the RCA, no AC in the vents. We were Jesus, Sammy, blue jean baby, born in the USA. Trailer park, truck stop, faded little map dots, New York to LA. We were teenage dreaming, front seat leaning, baby, come give me a kiss. Put me on the cover of the Rolling Stone, Uptown, Down Home, American Kids. Growing up in little pink houses, making.
There we go. That's all the happiness you're going to get. You're going to get in this show.
Great music.
Back to reality.
So we were talking about term limits, I think.
No, we moved on. Oh, maybe not.
No.
We're still bashing term limits? Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. Congressional term limits would increase the powers of the deep state. But more important than that, I've written 6 or 7 papers on election fraud and on the federal election of 2020, which was stolen. I'm sorry to say, but California is one of the most corrupt states in the country.
No, we're sorry to say that, too.
Yeah, I
just want to point out, I live here now, but I'm not from here.
I think the number is that California has well over 1 million ghost voters. These are dead people, non-existent people who vote. So we don't know if Kamala Harris was elected. We don't know.
Yeah, that's true. They elected her as the attorney general too. So I don't know. Repeated mistakes start to look kind of obvious.
Well, I've arranged to have my vote counted after I die for at least 10 years. So let's not screw that up.
Well, Lennon was right. The people who vote don't determine the outcome of elections. The people who count the votes are the ones who determine the outcome.
That's right.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess we should put a plug in for the Election Integrity Project, especially if you live in California.
Yeah.
Time to take an active hand in that, because
pay
you know,
for balance. Photo
well, when you elect
ID,
your county clerk.
Citizenship.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with any of that.
No, we like all those things. And you were going to, Joanna, you were starting to talk about something before we took the break, and then I forget what it was. I should have made myself a note. 61 and everything.
It was term limits.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and the dishonest elections in California with your ghost voters determining the outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you, if you had to give somebody like a, we'll call it like the elevator speech, right, on the Article 5 convention, you know, if somebody said, oh, no, I think it's great, we need to fix, you know, pick your list of problems, we need to fix all these things, what would be the one really big thing that you think would kind of snap them awake?
Get them to look it up and see.
I would ask them to read the U.S. Constitution we have and ask them to show me right then which provision of the U.S. Constitution they think should be amended to limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government. If you look at Article 1, Section 8, there's a list of what they can do. They can coin money, regulate the value thereof. They can make the laws on bankruptcies. They can establish uniform rule of naturalization. There are only about 17 or 18 things that Congress has the authority to do.
Yeah.
The reason all of the amendments proposed by people like Mark Levin and Randy Barnett at Georgetown University and the Convention of States Project, the reason all of their proposed amendments increase the powers of the federal government by legalizing what they've been doing or by creating, delegating new powers or by stripping states of their existing powers is because that's the only kind of amendment that can be done. Because our Constitution doesn't need to be amended. It needs to be read, understood, and obeyed.
Right.
And above all, the American people have got to start saying no to federal handouts. The American people are not victims of a wicked, mean, bad federal government. The American people loved the handouts. My state, Tennessee, was paid over $500 million to implement Common Core.
Wow.
And they complain about out-of-control federal spending. What hypocrites.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and, and there's federal money out there for just about everything, and that's and that's one of the first things you're going to hear bureaucrats say is, we can't do that or we'll lose our federal funding.
Well, you have that,
right.
and then you know, the other part of it that I don't know if this factors into any of your stuff, but the executive order situation where we're basically making, where we're allowing the executive branch to make laws, the bad part is those things are kind of like laws in pencil. And so everybody's happy. You know, they're happy when their guy is making the executive order. We got one over on them. But then the next guy rolls in, he erases it, puts in his own stuff. And I think that's just causing these massive swings in policy. You know, the federal government's supposed to move really slowly, but when you start doing it all by fiat, those swings get bigger and bigger and bigger
very fast.
More out of control.
Yes. And when now it's in a... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go on.
No, you go.
I was going to change the subject, sort of. I was going to say that the Convention of States group, they're the most visible. That's why we bring them up a lot. But they don't make any sense, and they get away with it because they say it with authority, and they make up stories. They have money to spread things. We have truth and logic is all we have to deal with, and we've kept it away since. But they say that they love the Constitution, too. They love the pocket Constitution. What will they do? Well, Mark Meckler says there are two constitutions. And he lugs around this 3,000-page book of Supreme Court decisions, and he says, that's what we're going by. We are following the Constitution. We're following this Constitution. And he even says you can order this Constitution from the U.S. publishers or whatever they're called, but they don't call it that. They call it, you know, the annotated version from the Supreme Court cases. And so what they're going to do, they say, is to clarify the Constitution so that we will go back to our pocket Constitution. But we already have our pocket Constitution.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, makes no sense.
The Supreme Court cannot amend the Constitution by passing, by issuing unconstitutional opinions. For example, in 1962, when the U.S. Supreme Court violated the First Amendment and started banning prayer in the Christian schools, a decision which was totally unconstitutional, if our state legislatures had had any people with brains and guts in them, they would have passed a law directing their school boards, school teachers, school principals to ignore the Supreme Court's decision banning prayer in the public schools, saying they have no authority to do that. Ignore them.
But
people with brains and guts do.
But the first thing you're going to hear if they do that is they're going to, we'll lose our federal funding for education.
You're right. That's what they do. They sold our retained powers to the federal government for money.
Yep.
So that's the problem. The Constitution we have is glorious.
Yeah,
it's about the only thing we have left, and they want to get rid of it. They're working very hard to get rid of it, and their backers, who are not disclosed, but I did an article, which is on your website, looking at almost two-thirds of the funding to the Convention of States organization was major donors averaging somewhere between $100,000 and $300,000 a year for the last 3 years.
But some donors get $2 million a pop. Yep. $2 million a year apiece.
Wow.
$2 million.
They claim they are a grassroots organization. They call themselves that. The legislators call them that. What grassroots organization starts out, you know, with $15,000 a month for Mark Meckler?
Yeah, and I've been involved in a lot of them, and that never happened.
Yeah, right, and could put $250,000 former U.S. senators on their payroll to twist the arms of people in the states to, you know, threaten them that they'll primary them if they don't vote for the Convention of States legislation. Why the push? It's so big a push. It's so much that you have to ask yourself, why do billionaires want to get their hands on our Constitution?
Well, it's interesting.
To the North American Union.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's interesting because you've said it a couple of times, and every time I think of immigration, you know, they always want, we need to clean up our immigration system and have, you know, we need to look at the laws surrounding immigration. And I'm thinking, every single time I hear that, I think, gosh, you know, I've got an idea. Let's follow the laws we actually have on the books, like really actually follow them for a year and see what happens. So just for the fun of it, just let's see what happens. And so I think we forget, like with immigration, like with the Constitution, those things are there if we just took the time to use them correctly. The tools are there. We don't really need to throw it all away and start over. But I guess if you want to turn it into something new, then you would convince everyone that the Constitution isn't working. And I really, it's very odd to me that, I guess it isn't, but it is. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around the fact that we have people on both sides of the aisle, but power and greed are, you know, they're ugly.
Yeah. You know, about open borders, I have read the task force report sponsored by the Council on Foreign Relations. I've read the entire task force report. It expressly provides for open borders between the U.S. and Mexico and the U.S. and Canada. And this policy has been in effect for a very long time. This process of moving us into the North American Union has been going on for a great many decades. The globalists have been pushing for this for a very long time.
Well, they've got the border just about where they want it.
They need a convention so they can get a constitution which transforms the United States from a sovereign nation to a member state of the North American Union. And you know, the Bush family, the entire Bush family is behind this 100%.
Yeah.
And Heidi Cruz was on the task force which wrote the CFR's report.
And who's Heidi Cruz?
Heidi Cruz.
Ted Cruz's wife.
Oh, Ted Cruz's wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Gosh, everybody's got their... Yeah. I feel left out. Bill, have you been involved in this when I wasn't looking?
I can't really say right now.
Oh, my
There's
God.
A lot
Bill's
of
involved.
In it.
Liam, are you in there? Are you working
on it
while we're...
I can't even get gas.
I can neither confirm nor deny. No comment.
I got left out.
You know, former U.S. Senator from Oklahoma, what's his name, was getting...
Tom Coburn.
Tom Coburn was being paid $240,000 a year to lobby state legislators to support an Article 5 convention. What's his name? Rick Santorum, former U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania, is also being paid big bucks. We don't know how much because he hasn't been on there long enough for us to see the 990 showing how much he was paid. Jim DeMint, we have a 990 showing that Meckler's organization's paid Jim DeMint $140,000 for 1 year to lobby for an Article 5 convention. So all the money is in lobbying for a convention. So you ask, well, why are some of these people supporting it?
Yeah.
Follow the money.
It's always the same thing.
Yeah, Rick,
ego and greed.
Rick Santorum testifies, and he says, I'm a convert. I was opposed to it, and now I'm for it. Well, that happened the day he was hired, whatever it is.
Yeah, it had
I think
to do
he
with
has
it, though.
Make,
it was magic.
Yeah.
Magic, yeah.
the bad kind of magic. It is kind of amazing, and I think that throws people and makes them wonder, or doubt that this is a bad thing when they see people that they consider reputable who are pushing this. It's kind of like
It has been a brilliant public relations campaign. We know Mark Meckler from way back when, Aaron.
Yeah.
I don't think he was the most brilliant person. But it is a brilliant campaign. He may have been groomed for it. I don't know that. But the first thing you do is you go get out and you get endorsers. And they've got a ton of endorsers. He has said that his group had asked, why don't you go after Rush Limbaugh? And he said, well, actually, I'm going to. I have a donor. He's always getting donors that are matching, the next $100,000, $500,000 or whatever. I have a donor that is putting up money for it, and I'm going to negotiate. Rush wants $225 million just to talk about it. So we don't know.
$2.25 million. Yeah.
What did I say?
$2.25 million. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, you're right. I said that. I think I said that wrong. Anyway, we don't know how much of these are paid advertising through perhaps radio stations like Sean Hannity or Mark Levin. Well, Mark Levin, he's on board anyway. But how much is straight out commercials, like when Candace Owens did look totally like an infomercial? We have people that know nothing about the Constitution that are getting their names that he's a name dropper. That's what Meckler does when he testifies. And he even says, like, when states, there's a lot of states that are very concerned about losing the Second Amendment, and he has been known to testify when he can't say, I'm endorsed by so-and-so, he'll say, we're not going to touch the Second Amendment. Don't worry about that. And the proof is that the NRA has not come out against him. Well, hello? If they came out for him, they'd be for him. And if they don't come out against him,
yeah,
they're for him.
Yeah, how does that work? So,
and what is hilarious to talk about, the duplicity of bad memory of that man. Even though Robert P. George is on the COS Legal Advisory Board and is the one who co-authored the new Constitution, which imposes gun control and red flag confiscations, Mark Meckler testified at a hearing in Ohio before Ohio Senate Committee on May the 24th of this year, and I was there, where I told the committee about these new constitutions, including the one that Robert P. George had co-authored. Mark Meckler had the gall to stand up and rebut me by making reference something about Miss Martin being delusional, that neither he nor any of his 5 million followers had ever heard of any of these proposed new constitutions.
Hmm.
And his own board member had co-authored one of them.
He forgot that part.
Yeah, nice try.
Yeah, he drops Robbie George's name every hearing almost that he has as the foremost expert on it. And then he has someone else write something on his, in opposition to Joanna's paper, but they don't say that. And they say that's ridiculous. Our board, Robbie George has nothing to do with the policy. That board hasn't met since it was formed, and it only met once in 2014. So they say that, and maybe that's true. I don't know if that's true or not, but why does he drop Robbie George's name constantly?
Every hearing?
That does seem a little disingenuous. We have to take a really quick break again. Sorry. Hang tight. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's our time to take take a stand. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
There's a call across this land. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
We were a city on a hill, a candle in the dark. It started long ago. Now we have come so far. We keep our faith, and there's no way out. Where there's little hope, we show no doubt. We go the distance, no matter how far. Oh, remember who we are. We've paid a price to be free. Remember who we are. With our blood, sweat and tears. Remember who we are. Will our children be the ones asking us one day why we didn't do enough, why we gave it all.
Ladies, we're back for the final 10 minutes. What have we not told people about anything?
I should clarify who Robert P. George is. He's a law professor at Princeton University, the Princeton Law School. So, of course, that's a prestigious school. So that's why Meckler brags about having Robert P. George on his board at every hearing. Before a legislative committee.
And just to say one more thing about endorsers, if you're a famous person and you're against this Article 5 convention and you don't want it to come out that you supported it after you die, you better tell someone, because Meckler has these posthumous, is that the word, endorsements. Justice Scalia was opposed to it, and his body wasn't even cold before they came out and said that he endorsed them. And they say this, they hand out his speeches at every hearing, that not every hearing, but a lot, quotes from 1979, before he was a justice, when he supported a constitutional convention. And they don't say that he was against it when he died. And they, with Rush was never on his endorsement page, and a lot of people are. But as soon as he died, he goes around to hearings and throws Rush's name in with all the other, you know, every single conservative supports me.
Wow.
And even Tom Coburn. I think it was a job to call Tom Coburn. And when he died, there was an instant fund to collect money to carry on his legacy. And the long obituary that his family wrote didn't even mention the group he worked for. So, you know, who knows what kind of support he has.
Yeah, that is kind of tricky. Are they, you know, I look at all of the unhappiness with the things that are going on, and for good reason, but this, mm-hmm. I would imagine, starts looking more and more like a solution, which is, I'm sure, the angle that they're taking.
Oh, yeah. Anything. In the early days, if it was April 15th, they could solve that problem and you wouldn't have to pay taxes. In 2014, Michael Ferris, representing Convention of States, said that we could put 50 people on the Supreme Court, like the English parliamentary system. He was pushing for that with an amendment that he said we could do this, we could do that. And now Meckler is saying, oh, we could limit, you know, we could keep the Supreme Court at 9 people with it. The thing is, they could do anything they want, including getting rid of our Constitution. with an Article 5 convention, and they use it. Their slogan is, it's a solution as big as the problem, I guess. The solution is, or is it a solution bigger than the problem? And
but is it bigger than Mark Meckler's hat? That's what I need to know.
It's a solution that has nothing to do with the problem. It's a solution that is the problem. If you want to know how we could get worse than we are now, this is it.
Yeah, because I'm thinking the original founding fathers knew a little bit more about what they were talking about than Mark Meckler and the team. I don't know.
They sure did. Oh, I want to clarify the left-right. This is not a left-right issue. It was always, and historically, it was the left which wanted an Article 5 convention. It was the conservatives who opposed it. So what those who wanted a convention did was to put sheep's clothing over their wolf bodies. They put on sheep's clothing, and they are marketing themselves as conservatives. They are not conservatives. I am intimately familiar with the tactics of the hard left, and all of their tactics are those of the hard left. Mm. They are not conservatives. They are posturing as patriotic conservatives. They wrap themselves in the flag, and they wrap themselves in popular conservative issues. But that's just demagoguery to get people on their side.
Wow.
Yep, they make up stuff. They smear people. And we're not talking about the patriots that support them. They are fooled by what's going on because there are many good people that think that this is the solution. And the people that know what's going on in the organization are purposely doing this. They're being funded for it. And, you know, they're working hard and they're good at it.
Yeah. Well, like you say, you just follow the money. It always comes back to that.
And who's kind of, besides, you know, you guys, obviously, who's sort of heading up the opposition?
We are.
Yeah.
there are groups that are on the opposition, like
right.
Eagle Forum, John Birch Society, the Phyllis Schlafly's Eagles, the Campaign for Liberty, Concerned Women for America. There are good conservative groups that are opposed to it as well. They don't get the publicity.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, if there was a... like a hub of the opposition, like there is a hub of the proponents. Never
it's kind
is
of spread around like the Tea Party, that we don't have a head, and that there's a lot of really concerned citizens that this issue speaks to, and some of them,
but,
you know, don't. Yeah, go ahead.
Judy organizes Judy is the one who organizes the opposition to it, and I'm the one who makes the legal arguments and the constitutional arguments.
Nice.
So we are at the tip of the spear, and we're unfunded.
we should give how people could get in touch with us information before.
Yeah, please do.
We end, or what they could do. Well, first of all, if you can read, there's enough information on your website right now, especially if they go to all these links and read it. People need to get informed about the issue because most people don't know about it at all. And to tell their, you know, share that with their legislators and with their U.S. Congress people. But they can also give us their you know, write to us. And I think the best address for me is judicaler@comcast.net. And my name is on the website, too. And then Joanna can answer questions. What we can do is let you know what's going on in the country, you know. So we write to legislators. We call them. We could put you in touch with people on the ground when there are people in the ground in that state to help on this issue. So just let us know who you are. First and foremost, educate yourself. And Joanna, and I have a website that is caavc.net. It stands for Citizens Against an Article 5 convention. The five is the V, like in Roman numeral. That has just, it's disorganized, but it has a lot of articles, videos, and stuff to learn from on that. And then Joanna's website and Go Ahead is has so much information. Go ahead, Joanna.
My exhibit list has my email address at the very bottom of it on the last page. I invite all of your callers to email me, and I will send you a copy of my exhibit list, which has live links to all of my documents. And they can use my email address, which is right there at the bottom of the exhibit list.
And I actually put it right on the page for the show.
Oh, good.
Yes.
You know, and I answer any questions about our U.S. Constitution. Any questions. I've probably already written a paper on it.
Nice.
I have well over 150 articles.
We had some folks on the chat room that couldn't get that list. Just reload the We the People radio website and...
Yeah, for today,
just
refresh
reload
the page.
For today, and then you'll see reference during the show, a PDF document that will give you all this information.
There's an online link, and then there's a PDF document. So I put it in both forms so we could make it as easy as possible. I figure if the proponents are that well organized, we better at least make sure all of our links work.
Oh, yeah.
We don't want to leave people empty-handed here. Judy and Joanna. This is really important for everybody to really understand and to know. When people go to their an email to their representatives, their federal representatives, you know, are you in favor of or are you not in favor of? Do you think they'll get back yes or no answers, or is this something that people parse and sort of hide behind?
A few legislators will tell you the truth, but our main battle right now, we need to focus on the state legislatures because we need state legislatures to rescind their previous applications for Congress to call an Article 5 convention. We've been able to get, is it seven states, Judy, in the last few years?
Yeah, strangely enough, it's the Democrat states that have rescinded it. I think it's been seven in 7 years. But legislators, most of them, I mean, they're like us, like most people. They don't understand the issue themselves. And when they write letters, you often get a form letter or something that says, "Oh, I'll take that into consideration when I vote on it." But you will get back some that are opposed, and it is like gold to find Republicans opposed to it because they get so much pressure. They get wined and dined and arms twisted, and they could get committees taken away from them. It's very difficult for them to go against, especially if leadership in their state is for this. And but you will find some.
Interesting. Because the one I asked was a Republican and just said, yeah, only the dumb Republicans are in favor of it. So apparently not getting wined or dined right there. Or just not getting the right stuff.
And, you know, there's also the problem of groupthink. There's such social pressure to agree with whatever the people in your group are saying. When an Article 5 convention is presented as the conservative solution and opposition voices are prohibited from being heard, we are censored viciously. We're censored.
We know all about that, huh? But we're getting kind of better at it. We have a lot more routes. I hope you guys will send us other people on this topic if there are folks that can broaden the discussion. And we really appreciate you being on with us today. Joanna and Judy. And today is September 4th, 2022. If you want to send this to a friend, the archive will be up here in just a little bit. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
There's a hole in this country where its heart used to be, and no glory is divided on firing street. They say building back better, make America great. If that's a wave of the future, all I've got to say, stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep your big mess away from me and mine. If you leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine. Shut down our pipelines and they shut down our voices. Shut down our main streets and they shut down our choices. They bent us all over, but it's all over now. We figured it out. We ain't backing down. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep you a big mess away from me and mine. If you leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine.